I'll show my soul. You see, you know, I'm sorry, y'all. Brothers are going to hear it. Y'all are going to hear it now because he saved you, amen?
Amen.
He raised you up from a place called dead. And he saved you now, and now you're at that place that you are a new creation, a new creature. And praise God, because he loves you so much, and he just don't want you to come living up in the heaven without any reward. With nothing to show for you, God. Oh, God, baby. With nothing to show for yourself. He gives you time to go. And make. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you get your breath. You get your neck wet. And you get to put your feet on the floor. And you get to go out the door. And you get to go out and come back in. And you get to smile at somebody. You get to pray for somebody. You get to talk to somebody. You get to tell somebody. You get to show somebody. You get to show somebody Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Other than that, why in the world are we wasting up his great, precious air that he gives to you? Because you show up the door to ask him. People say, he said, why did you die? Why did they lie in your, why did they put you, this in your heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost? He said to the people here are ready to take you by, right now by the man fell over dead. Your next heartbeat, it belongs to the Lord. And we won't even tell nobody. Pick up the phone. Get your old phone book out. I don't like it. I ain't talk to you in a long time. No, I'm gonna take you. You know that old phone book you don't use no more. All them old friends. I know someone probably ran away from you anyway, but that's okay. You know, man. Reacquaint yourself with them. Did not come to save those that were saved. Did not come to save that those that didn't need a physician. He came to save those that were sick.
Amen.
What we doing up in here is just rubbing on ointment on our little wounds today. We're worshiping the God of the Most High.
Yes, Lord.
We're praising him. We're getting our strength back up. We're getting renewed. We're getting refreshed. But the work is out there. So he says, go in the name of Jesus, therefore, and teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And though I am with you,
always.
He keeps it in the present tense with you.
Right.
You don't even have to look to the future. That slipped past a lot of readers. He's with you right now. Wherever you go, he said, I'm with you all
the
way. Even unto the end of the world. And he keeps telling these people, and I know it's a problem because he points it out in the Bible. I know it's a problem for men, and I know it's a problem for women. But I gotta give y'all women some props, though. Y'all some bad Christians. Mm-hmm. Y'all, and I mean that in a good way.
Right.
Y'all awesome. But he keeps telling us men, he says, fear not.
That's right.
I am with you. Fear not, he told Moses. Fear not, he told Joshua. Fear not. All throughout the Bible, fear not, fear not. No, I'm with you always. Fear not. And then we just begin to fear not. And thank you, mothers. Thank you, women, for your ministry to God and your family. But I have to tell you something. We need to start raising our children, and we need to start telling our children some things from the beginning. We need to be examples before them and tell some of these sorry men to start being fathers to them and leading their families the way. I'm going to call it. That's right. This is a for real church.
Amen.
I thank you. But until we tell, we can get some truth on them. And we ask them. One family at a time, one man at a time. Amen.
Amen.
Until we can get some truth on them, I pray with the women, please, train up your child in the way that they should go. Mm-hmm. so that when they grow old, they will not depart. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that they always don't do the wrong thing or won't find themselves in that mud, that their face in the mud. I had a praying mother. I had a praying grandmother. But I tell you what, I knew who to call when my face was down in that gutter.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I even knew who to call when they said, don't call me right now. I'm going to tell you, get yourself to
together.
Can't leave nothing coming out your mouth. Oh, yeah, my face was down in that gutter. I said, Jesus. And from that day, he's helped me put one foot in front of the other.
Yes, Lord.
He's helped me to see that there's a great God in Zion.
Yes, Lord.
If you just seek him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I told him I'm going to pray. Mm-hmm. I told him personally that I wasn't going to tell nobody. Mm-hmm. But now, the scriptures teaches us to tell others about Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
And while sharing the gospel is awesome, it's simply not enough to just to run up and tell somebody about the gospel and then don't follow up with them. We're talking about making disciples. Jesus said, go and make, what did he say? What was the word? Teach, baptize in all nations. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things. That's called discipleship.
That's right.
Uh-huh. You just can't run into somebody's life and run out. How do you want to teach somebody all that he has commanded them and you won't call them? You won't follow up with them. You won't walk with them. You won't help them. You won't see if they're all right. You won't see what's going on in their life. You won't... How in the world is it even possible? You might not even have a friend. You call them, your friend. They might call you, but you might not even have that relationship going on. But he's talking about going deeper. You understand? He's not asking you this as something that you should think about. You say you love the Lord, then you will do the things that he says. What is he saying? He's saying, yes, your spiritual journey is important. Your personal spiritual journey is important. You should grow.
That's right.
You should have a hunger and thirst for righteousness to learn all that you can about this great God. And once you really start seeing God open up the windows of heaven, pour a blessing on you that you cannot and you do not deserve.
That's right.
You want to start drawing closer. You'll start getting excited about getting this relationship going. He's serious about that relationship. Don't get me wrong. But he told you to go. He said, I have all power in my hand and I want you to go and make disciples. He wants to make you fishermen and men and women. Somebody say, that's why I'm breathing. Come on, say it like you mean it.
That's why I'm breathing.
Listen to me. That's why you're breathing. It's an honor and a great responsibility. It's an honor that he thinks enough of us to allow us to work in the field of salvation. He don't need you. He's not going to come in your house and take you out to be and get you to pray and get you to study and get you to come and get you to do. He's not going to do that. out of order.
Yes.
Tell you don't got 5 minutes for the Most High God. Elohim, don't do what? Ask him to order your steps in his
word.
Wash your heart in his. Show you how to walk. Show you how to talk. Tell me you don't have that time to invest. I know we got ourselves out of that. Don't get me wrong, I know that. And you gotta take it back. What the devil stole from you. We learn how to struggle in the word. We're learning how to read the word and understand the word. Understand that. But when you're going out to make these disciples, and you have to make them in a way so that they too can grow. You just can't. You got to be intentional about making some new relationships to y'all. The faith, even by water, some of them don't need to even be. Picked up too much more because they were rotten, right? Mm-hmm. You know, come on, don't get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been there, should have been doing it. You're doing the wrong thing. But these new relationships that you are starting to form need to be encouraged. We have new people coming in and out of our fellowship. And I've already told y'all what to do. I hope I don't have to say that again. I want somebody else to take charge. I need some help. Somebody. I wait on all the tables that I can, but I need some help. If God has done anything for you, go and make disciples. And I know that he has. You heard that he has. He's in the fixing business. You know these things. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, Jesus had a ragtag set of people working for him, man. Now, y'all got to know this. You know, when it comes to being by corporate America standing, none of them would have got the job. None of them, not one of them. Maybe Judas. He was kind of crafty with the money. Peter, emotionally unstable, had a little temper, didn't he? Didn't he? Andrew, absolutely no leadership qualities at all. Brothers James and John, the sons of Zebedee, all they was caring about where they was going to sit when they get in and when you get the power. Can I sit on the right hand or can I sit on the left hand? You can't sit. All they were about was what they were going to get for the long ragtag set of fellas. Thomas, oh Lord Thomas. Always, I don't know. I got to see it. If I don't see it, I don't believe it. He was always undermining the morale of the troops. Oh man, I don't know about the street yet. Oh, should I say it's Jesus is on by the streets yet. I can't even do it because I'm not sure. I can't talk, y'all. I can't go make nothing. Matthew, blacklisted by the Better Business Bureau of Jerusalem because he couldn't even collect taxes right. Talking about a ragtag set of fellows. Thaddeus and James, the son of Alphaeus. You know those two? They were kind of radical. They were hotheads. They also here to get you now, somebody. He also had a little depression problem. Mm. He had the spirit of depression. I mean, some call it manic depression. But Jesus took every last one of them, including the one that held the bag.
Lord,
knew he was the killer. Knew he was going to boy, he didn't close. You know what he allowed him to do? He made a choice. And he made it. Jesus already knew he was going to make it.
That's right.
But that didn't stop him from what? Come walking. Come walking to me.
That's true.
It didn't stop him from picking 11 other men that nobody would have given the job to. You wouldn't have hired him. He said, no, you're not cut out for this work. Go make disciples. You would be thinking that their business venture was not going to make it. Amen?
Amen.
We have found out that Jesus took those 11 men and their families, and he made them fishers of men. You're saying here today because God made them fishers of men that some other people would have just cast aside. Some of you right now today are thinking that somebody, and real quick, I'm gonna give you 3 points. I'll come back maybe to fill them up later. One, identify your mission. And I'm telling you right now, it's closer than you think. Identify your mission. Psalms 96:3 says this. He said, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous work among all people. Among all the people. Some of them won't even open up our mouth, amen?
Amen.
Keep your eye open for people. Keep your eye open for who God is working on. Keep your eye open. The Spirit will lead you. You might walk through somebody, I ain't know I'm talking to you, but I love you, Lord. And you hear my cry, how about you? They might look at you, well, then you get a chance to tell them about Jesus. But you know, the Lord of God of the glory in heaven and earth, he's so far out in front of you, and he just told you already to fear not. You might find yourself knocking on somebody's door, the Lord sent me here, and he wanted me to tell you about him. And you might find out somebody saying, well, I've been waiting on you. It happens. I'm going to do it. Let a co-worker know that you're praying for him or her. Take a dinner to a neighbor. You create you some opportunities to witness. Create you some opportunities to make new friends. You need to make new people that you can disciple. That you can start carrying across. Ask the cashier at the store how she's doing. And really start listening to people. Be intentional about forming these relationships. Amen.
Amen.
Number two, focus on the gospel. It transforms the lives. If you're short on time, and you will be, because when you meet somebody new, you don't got time to be standing up there going on and on and on. Amen.
Amen.
Explain to them the good news. If you can do it in a nutshell, you need to remember John 3:16. I believe you already have. Amen. Tell them that he gave his life for them. Just tell them. The gospel is the power. All this is going to make sense after you read John. You know, you don't do nothing. But participate in this ministry called salvation. I can't change you.
That's right.
Get used to it. The rest of it is called being a leash. That's all they do is going to take from you. I don't say nobody. Learn to live consistent in your focusing on the gospel. Learn to live a self-centered Christian life. Amen. You should live just a self-centered what? Life. Be a friend. Call. Keep them close to you. I guarantee you all y'all can have 5-10 people in more with no time. Because they're everywhere.
That's right.
The reason why we can't find me? Because it won't go. That's why we're trying to get all narrow in our focus. Some of them might be a little stinky. Some of them might be a little dirty. Some of them might have holes in their hands. Some of them might have earrings in their ears. Some of them might have one in their nose. But some of them might have a couple of them in their tongues. Some of them might got dreadlocks. They're everywhere. And they're broken and they're bruised. It might not look like you. Uh-oh. You talking about Caucasians? Oh, jeez. They're just going to hell, aren't they?
Oh, man.
I tell you, Judge. And as he told Peter, I tell you, call unclean when he says clean. All they have to do is believe in your heart. Confess with their mouth. God raised him from the dead, and they too shall be saved.
Amen.
You know, got some people in that community that, I'm sorry, just stalls to you. Unforgiveness. See how that works out when you see Jesus.
Lord have mercy.
There you go. Something that he said that can be clean, unclean. Might not look like you. Might not act like you. Might worship in a little different way. God might show you some people that you never even saw before. When you were standing there, been standing there all the time. Remember, we're all sinners saved by
grace.
And we need a
Savior.
Try to see people as God sees them. Amen.
Amen.
Love them unconditionally. Start to disciple them unconditionally. They are everywhere. Did you know that someone with a specific, do you know someone with a specific spiritual need? You're breathing. Go plant. Go water. Maybe somebody's struggling with loneliness. You know anybody? Depression. You know anybody? Grief. You know anybody? Listen, with addiction. Do you know anybody? You can even tell them why you're calling. Stop hiding the gospel of Jesus Christ. You let the gospel do what the gospel will do. And you start doing what God said you ought to do. And he said what?
No.
Well, we worried about that somebody would be jealous. We worry about that our friends won't call us back. We worry that our children will think that mom and dad is crazy and our child won't talk to them right now. You better start loving them to life.
Lord have mercy.
The Bible says, train them. You go ahead and drive past and figure out another plan if you want to. More hurt for them, I guarantee you. You gotta start acting like God's people and before them. So they might see our good works and glorify. And that starts at home. If your child sees you acting like a nut, what do you think he gonna think all Christians are? If your child sees you at home doing drugs or watching pornography or whatever it is that you do, cussing and carrying on, then the next thing you get up on Sunday and you got your Bible.
Lord have mercy.
Got men laying around the house, and now you got your Bible. Got a man laying in the house. Now you got your Bible.
Lord have mercy.
Men. All you want to do, all they want to do is just see how many they can do. Rub their cars all day. And then we want to tell our children to do as we what? Say and not as we what?
Say.
Then we go to church, some of them go to church on Christmas and Easter. They're everywhere, y'all.
That's right.
They're everywhere. Do you understand?
Everywhere.
You ain't got to get scratch your head long to find out where everywhere it is.
That's right.
You'll find out that you don't got to get to Judea. Your Jerusalem is full.
That's right. That's true.
Number three. And then I'm done.
Okay.
No matter how ordinary your story seems to be, I know you're not a theologian. You may not have gone to school to tell anybody about what Jesus has done for you. You didn't have to. Tell somebody about what he has done for you. Learn to share your story to someone. Learn to be concise with it. Because, you know, when you meet somebody, you know, you just go going off on a 20-minute tangent and then you lost them. You should learn how to share your story in about the short version. And replete with testimony, replete with what God has done for you, replete with how he loosed your shackles and set you free, replete with how he changed you, replete with how he fixed you, replete with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you done that? What was your life like after you accepted Jesus Christ? What was your life like before you accepted Jesus Christ? How did you receive him? How did you hear about him? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Will you go to church with me? How did you respond? Oh, I didn't do it for a long time, but I certainly wasted a long time, and I certainly put a lot of hurt on myself. People were praying for me, but I wouldn't go. The devil almost had to kill me. But the Lord still loved me that much.
Lord,
3 minutes, you can do it. You got a story. It might sound ordinary. You have to tell them every little grimy detail. Not even overwhelm them. You might even put a verse or two in there for them where they can start remembering this. I'm talking about going and making disciples, y'all. How's your life changed since you accepted Christ? Anybody? We do pretty good with that one, right? You're not bragging on yourself, you're bragging on the Most High God.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, don't you don't have to go with that part about where you struggled in your past. You can tell them how you was a mess. You don't have to always get into all the emotional experiences about it, but you can tell them, do your best to write this thing down, you know, so that you can get it down to 3-4 minutes. God giving you a shot with somebody. And then Follow up with them. And then let them know you love them. Then let them know that you're going to be walking with them. Let them know that you're going to be part of the solution with them. And just like somebody, they might find that card. Some years later, they might find your phone number, something later. And nothing else, they just might, they popped up in glory just because of your obedience to God. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do today. And I'm not done with this subject. I'm not done. Because of you, until the food starts coming up. And you can give the reports of the food. That's fine by me. We need to know. We need to encourage each other about what God is doing. Mm-hmm. You don't shame anybody. Tell you that. I want to hear about how you plant. I want to hear about how you walk. I want to hear about how you go. I want to hear about how you walking with somebody that you're talking with them and you're following up with them. I'm not asking you to save. But I know somebody who can. Everybody, go and make disciples. Put your hands together for the Lord.